Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, December 10th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Coming up, California's Central Valley is known for its rich agriculture, but new research is putting the spotlight on so-called forever chemicals that are used to produce these crops.
So once we have a better look at where these chemicals are ending up in our environment and how we're being exposed, maybe we can start to take real action.
More on how these chemicals are showing up and the efforts to tighten their regulation. That conversation in just a moment after these news headlines. First, a note, this story contains information that some listeners may find disturbing. The mother of a family killed in a Porterville fire is speaking about the incident. Crystal Lewis lost her four children when their mobile home caught fire on Sunday. The children's father was also killed. Lewis spoke with TV station Fox 26.
And I shouldn't be having to do this, but instead of buying Christmas presents, I'm buying urns for all four of my children.
Her kids ranged from 1 to 5 years old. Lewis reportedly lives in Arkansas. She's asking for donations to go directly to the Porterville Funeral and Cremation Center. Authorities have not yet released the father's identity. They're also still investigating the cause of the fire. A Kingsburg aerial pesticide company is facing state penalties. The California Department of Pesticide Regulation alleges that the company Trinkle Ag Flying caused drifting pesticide droplets, and that in turn damaged a nearby almond orchard. The accusation also alleges the company committed worker safety violations. The department's seeking a hearing in order to revoke or suspend the company's business license and impose a $30,000 fine. Fresno County has a new public health officer. As KVPR's Carrie Klein reports, Dr. Trinidad Solis credits her parents for helping shape her worldview.
Solis came to the department in 2020 as a public health physician. She oversaw community engagement during the COVID-19 pandemic and has since prioritized health outreach to farm workers and rural communities. In a 2022 interview with KVPR, she said her parents were farm workers from Mexico and she used to work beside them in the fields.
I think just having those experiences early on really shaped not only the importance of like being thankful for our farm workers and the essential work they do, but also my parents instilled the importance of education early on.
Solis succeeds Dr. Race Vora, who served as interim health officer for 6 years. Last month, Fresno County supervisors also appointed a new public health director, Joseph Prado. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
A Fresno County supervisor is seeking to advance his political career to the state level. Brian Pacheco is now campaigning for state assembly. The Democrat announced his candidacy for the District 27 seat currently held by Esmeralda Soria. Soria, who's now running for state senate, has voiced her support for Pacheco. Pacheco's campaign website touts his experience as a Valley dairy farmer. A state audit has found problems with the way the state's corrections department investigates claims of guard misconduct. The prison system's inspector general says a, quote, wave of lawsuits has been filed by women who allege they were sexually abused by prison staff while incarcerated. Our newsroom partner Cal Matters reports a guard at the Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla worked years after abuse allegations were first reported. He was found guilty on 64 counts of sexual abuse in January.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from Fresno Mazda, part of the Prieto Automotive family, leading the industry in the IIHS 2025 Top Safety Pick Awards, helping move Mazda closer to the goal of eliminating traffic fatalities. More information and the Mazda digital showroom available at myfresnomazda.com.
And now to our main story. A growing community of researchers is looking into a problem with the way we are producing crops and manufacturing goods. Studies are showing many pesticides used to grow crops contain chemicals that refuse to break down in the environment once they're released. Those chemicals have been nicknamed, quote, forever chemicals. Their technical title is perfluorokill, or polyfluorokill. In short, they're known as PFAS, and in the last few decades, dozens of PFAS chemicals have made their way into industrial settings and consumer products, but we know very little about how they affect our bodies. The Environmental Working Group is a national environmental advocacy group that's been tracking the use of PFAS and is pushing for regulation and more research into the chemicals. They recently produced an analysis that found more than 2.5 million pounds of PFAS are released each year in California alone, much of it here in the Central Valley to protect crops like almonds and pistachios from insects and fungus. Jared Hayes is a senior policy analyst with the Environmental Working Group, and he recently spoke with our producer, Jonathan Linden, about the growing use of these chemicals.
So these PFAS pesticides have been entering the market for the past 40 years or so, but over the past 10 years, we've seen more and more being approved and being introduced. And one of the reasons for that is manufacturers of pesticides are adding these fluorine molecules to their existing products or to new products. And these fluorine molecules turn that product into a PFAS. And so PFAS are often added to products to make them more stable, make sure they don't break down as easily when they're sprayed out into the fields, make sure they last longer. But that side effect is that they are now PFAS. And they are entering into our soil, entering into our groundwater supplies, and spreading out into the environment, really increasing our overall exposure to these harmful forever chemicals.
And your analysis covered the period from 2018 to 2023. You looked at the general use of these pesticides, but also focused on their use on farms, as you've kind of hinted at. But besides the total usage of these pesticides, what were some of your other key findings?
So we found 52 different PFAS pesticides were used across the state from 2018 to 2023, amounting to 15 million pounds used during the period. And they are used on some of the largest staple crops in California, like almonds and tomatoes, wine grapes, and pistachios. And they are just being used largely in the Central Valley, primarily because it's such a large agricultural hub.
And I want to note that Fresno County had the highest usage of these pesticides with PFAS across California, with just over 2 million pounds on crops across the county. Do you know why in particular there's these certain crops like almond and pistachios and tomatoes and not other crops?
Because they are some of the largest crops in the area. That could be because of that. But yeah, I mean, these pesticides are used on a wide variety of things for a wide variety of uses, from insecticides to fungicides and herbicides. So it can depend on what they're trying to control in various situations. But as any orchard owner will tell you, it's very important to be able to control insects and fungus on their crops. And so, yeah, there's going to be this use for pesticides, but we really need to be questioning if we need to be using these pesticides.
Yeah, that leads me to ask, are there alternatives that these farmers could be using that aren't as potentially dangerous?
There are certainly a number of alternatives available on the market today that farmers could be using to replace these pesticides that are made as PFAS chemicals. It will depend on what the alternative is. As I said, there's a lot of different uses for these pesticides, but as I said, there are alternatives that are out there. But unfortunately, it's not going to be on the label to say this is a PFAS. And so farmers aren't going to know when they're looking for a pesticide to control pests on their crops. Is this a PFAS? Is it not? It's going to be unclear until we get a proper control over this issue.
Yeah. So is there any work to change that to help farmers be more conscious about what pesticides have PFAS in them?
I mean, we are trying to raise that awareness now. Hopefully we can get more people interested in this issue to cover it. Right now, the California water boards are testing drinking water supplies throughout rural California to find what's known as trifluoroacetic acid. And this is one of the main PFAS compounds that these pesticides break down into and has been linked to some health harms as well. And so once we have a better look at where these chemicals are ending up in our environment and how we're being exposed, maybe we can start to take real action to be able to control how they're being used and how they're ending up into our environment.
And is the main concern that the PFAS could be absorbed into whatever crop is being grown and then eventually be eaten by someone?
It can depend. So there is some concern about if it's going to end up in our crops, how it's being used throughout the growing cycle, if it's going to end up in the final product. And certainly more research needs to be done on what kind of pesticide exposure we're ingesting. But one of the other major concerns is its presence in our environment generally, in our drinking water supplies, in the air that farm communities are exposed to when it's sprayed. So we have all these different routes of exposure that we need to be looking at.
And my understanding is that the government is aware of the widespread use of these pesticides with PFAS. And in fact, these pesticides containing PFAS must be first approved by the government, right? So which agencies are primarily responsible for this?
The first step is the US EPA. They approve new active ingredients for pesticides. And just a couple weeks ago, they approved yet another one that's now available, that will be available on the market for use. That will make the second PFAS pesticide that the EPA has approved just this year. But California has a unique case where California Department of Pesticide Regulation takes a second look at new chemicals that are entering the market and can take a role in saying that these aren't going to be used or these are going to be restricted within the state. So you have two different regulatory agencies that have a role in that. Unfortunately, the US EPA uses a definition of PFAS that is overly narrow and doesn't include the entire class of chemicals that are considered to be PFAS. And so a lot of these aren't going to be considered for their harmful effects that PFAS are associated with during the review process.
And is that something unique to the Trump administration's EPA, or was this also happening under Biden and other Democratic Party presidents?
Yeah, so the current definition that the EPA is using for PFAS in their pesticide reviews was established in 2021 during the first year of the Biden administration. Even at that time, groups like EWG and many other organizations and scientific community were critical of that particular definition. As I said, it does not include the entire class of PFAS chemicals. And so as science has emerged over the past 5 years, this has been in place, we really need to take some time to update that and make sure that we are protecting people from PFAS and make sure that PFAS doesn't continue to invade our environment.
And so do you know of any current potential regulations that could be coming to the state of California to try to make sure there isn't as much use of these pesticides with PFAS?
I'm not aware of a current push right now. Again, we're still looking at how much is out there, how it's spreading in our environment, what exposure really looks like. So I think as we continue to study, continue to look at where it's ending up, there will be a push to find those limitations and find the best ways to limit it.
That was Jared Hayes, a senior policy analyst with the Environmental Working Group. He was speaking with our producer, Jonathan Linden, about the growing use and concern over PFAS chemicals. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.